faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right in with Insane Thing number 8. Remember Fulton County, Georgia? If that sounds familiar, that's where Trump got his now infamous mugshot that hangs right outside the Oval Office. Why? Because he and his circle were arrested for their RICO-style strategy to lie about voter fraud occurring in Fulton County and then use that to overthrow democracy in a plot before it became clear that Fannie Willis, the prosecutor, was a bigger criminal than just about anybody she tried. She defrauded the county via her boyfriend, who she appointed as an attorney. She actually got convictions in Trump's circle. She intended to turn them against him. The ultimate goal, folks, was to have Trump in court on trial the week of the 2024 election. And they would have, had Fannie not gotten caught for her own crimes related to the case. That makes what came out this week so astonishing. The linchpin of the entire Fulton County case against Trump was that he had lied about voter fraud in Fulton County. But no one really knew because they'd hidden the ballots and the tabulator records for 5 years as one patriot there in Fulton County slogged on, spending $15,000 of his own money to get the voter rolls, the records, all of it. Well, he got that stuff about 2 months ago. And folks, do you remember for years, this is ultimately why I broke up with Trump and didn't support him in the primary. He had raised $200 million. And I said, he's got to be suing these counties for these records. He didn't. Some poor guy had to do it. They finally released it all a couple months ago, right after the 5-year statute of limitations ended. And now we know why. The affidavit this week, filed by the FBI, lays out an astonishing fact. Federal law was broken in Fulton County, just as Trump had claimed in that phone call with Brad Raffensperger that they tried to put him. Folks, Trump was this close to having to run the country from a Georgia prison. Who is in charge of Georgia? Republicans, Brad Raffensperger, Brian Kemp, who didn't do a thing to help him. Shame on them. Anyway, here's John Solomon of Just the News with the scoop on that affidavit that was released. Almost no one knows this, folks. It was barely covered this week, and it was some of the biggest news this week.
We were told by Chris Wright and other officials after the 2020 election, we had a perfect election. Today, the FBI said in an affidavit that was unsealed by a federal judge about 45 minutes ago, is that the FBI has substantiated about 5 irregularities in the vote counting in Fulton County, Atlanta, the major hub, the major urban area of Georgia. This kind of puts a shine on Brad Raffensperger's claim that everything was fine. It wasn't.
So what exactly was the problem, folks? This stuff is serious.
Fulton County couldn't get vote counts to match. There are concerns that they might have faked or altered numbers. There is the FBI declares in an affidavit. They have confirmed in Fulton County, or the state of Georgia have confirmed, that in some cases during the recounts, ballots were double counted, double scanned and double counted, that numbers didn't match up. And then they suddenly just magically matched up with no additional work, and that some ballot images have been lost. And that about 315,000 ballots, which were certified, were not properly certified through Georgia law. Now, why is that important? It's much like the way the FBI and the IRS ultimately got Al Capone. They didn't get him by charging him as being a mobster. They got him by not following other things like tax law. Here, it is a federal felony to fake or fraudulently put out vote counts that don't match or are inaccurate or that don't follow your state's law. You're trusted as an election official in Fulton County. You have to follow the law. It looks like the FBI has some pretty substantial proof that the law wasn't followed. What the FBI agent says in this bombshell affidavit is, if we find any intentionality to this, they could be federally charged with felonies 5 years later. That is a big deal. It explains why they raided that warehouse. And I'd keep an eye on Arizona. I think a similar issue is brewing there now.
The reason this is so significant, again, as he says there, this is just some stuff that the Trump administration made up. This is what was submitted to the judge who ultimately gave them the warrant to go ahead and raid Fulton County. Now, by the end of the week, it became clear 40 boxes that were part of the warrant that were rightfully the FBI's to pick up vanished, along with some really critical ballot records in them. Why might that have happened? This is astonishing, folks. The special agent in charge of the Atlanta office of the FBI tipped off Fulton County before the raid. They weren't supposed to know about it. He was fired this week. Folks, that shows you how deep the rot inside the FBI goes and how they know there's voter fraud here. They know they had to protect Fulton County and ultimately the Democrat Party. Astonishing. Insane thing number 7. Over the years on this podcast, we've documented how most of the major issues, ideas, think Russia collusion hoax, climate change, that the Democrats present their people with are in fact fake. Well, we've got another one to add to the list. The Biden jobs boom. Totally fake. If you remember the Biden era, every single economic stat was negative. That happens to you when you have 9.1% inflation because you're printing money and raiding the treasury. But the one bright spot they talked about over and over and over was the supposed jobs boom. It wasn't. We got an update on the final total revision for 2024. Biden's last year in office on jobs, half the jobs were fake. Folks, that's record breaking. For a total of 2 million fake jobs during the Biden administration. Now, folks, you can see how bad this is. We're now learning with the revisions. And folks, there've been revisions to the job numbers for all of history, but it's usually, you know, down, you know, 4,000 down, 5,000 up, 7,000 down. It's not 150,000 down a month. We had entire quarters under Joe Biden with no net job creation. That's astonishing. And that's why some of these months with Trump, he's still pushing against this. We have months regularly where we only create 50,000 jobs. Why? Well, it's because nobody's lying inside the Bureau of Labor Statistics anymore. It's loaded with Democrats and Biden appointees. We haven't gotten rid of yet because the Republicans in the Senate won't cooperate. Anyway, now that we're getting true jobs numbers, it looks like bad months of job creation. It's not. It's that the Democrats lied on an industrial scale. Again, half the jobs during the final year of the Biden administration were fake. Here's EJ Antoni, PhD, explaining that. He's the guy, by the way, Trump tried to appoint to run the Bureau of Labor Statistics and oversee this mess and all this fraud. But traitor rhino Senator Lisa Murkowski blocked him because the Democrats can't lie. They can't win. Here's EJ Antoni explaining this mess.
So we essentially just found out today, Steve, that in Biden's last year, half, actually just over half of the supposed job growth that had initially been estimated didn't even exist. And so it helps square that circle of how on earth could you have report after report that looked so good, these economic numbers, and yet the American people always said they felt terrible about Biden's economy. It turns out because, again, literally more than half of the people who supposedly were getting jobs, they weren't, not at all. And the other thing that it really helps, I guess, solve the mystery, so to speak, Steve, is we had talked again on your show a lot about how the number of jobs kept going up, even though a different survey that counts how many people are employed, that was basically flat. It was really just population adjustments that were causing significant increases there. Well, today, with these big downward revisions for 2024 and 2025, now all of a sudden those two metrics have reconverged. And so I think that gives us a little bit more confidence in the data. Still not great, but certainly better than it was when it was under Biden. And it was as if it was a random number generator. The numbers were truly, truly horrific.
Quick final thought here, folks. One of the reasons that the United States of America is the number one destination hub on earth for investment is simply you can believe what the government says, or you could. What did international investors who don't give a hoot about politics learn from this week? When Democrats are in office, it's like the former Soviet Union. It might be true what they're saying about their economic stats. Also might not. Better avoid America when Democrats are in charge. There's no way to know important financial metrics. They'll just lie about them like a tin pot dictatorship. Folks, that loss of credibility is devastating. Insane thing number six. Another absolute bombshell. The mainstream media blacked out this week while covering the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie for an astonishing, folks, one Fox newscast, I counted, 54 out of 60 minutes was a wall of Nancy Guthrie. I think there's a reason for that. And one of the things that went missing this week was this astonishing report on the bioweapons lab at the home of the Chinese illegal immigrant that was raided last week by the FBI. It was in Vegas, and it's about 3 miles upwind from one of our most crucial Air Force bases. Now, remember a quick background on this. The original lab was in Reed Lake, California. An inspector caught it, code inspector. They called the CDC begging for a raid and the FBI and were ignored. It wasn't until the Congress member from the area started screaming and yelling bloody murder on the Hill that it forced a raid. They came in, confiscated all the samples, and then remember the local city said, hey, look, we want to test them. This stuff is terrifying that you're finding. It could wipe out significant chunks of the population potentially. And the CDC said, nah, no, we're not going to test it. They said, hey, we'll even give you hundreds of thousands of dollars to test it with. CDC said, nah, we'll just destroy the evidence. So the Chinese illegal immigrant here is not charged with any bioterror charges. He's only charged on like wire fraud and stuff like that because the Biden administration covered for him. That's the background here. Now, astonishingly, you would think you raid the lab. Wouldn't you raid his home? They didn't. The home is the one in Vegas. So the FBI, we're now finding out this week, gets tipped off by the maid because they've turned it into an Airbnb. But in the basement, there's still a bunch of bioweapons. Thank God that because the electricity stayed turned on, that the refrigerators were running. Well, she got sick and called the FBI and then they raided it. We're just now finding all this stuff out. Okay, well, I told you about that last week. The big bombshell this week was quietly dropped by FBI Director Kash Patel again to John Solomon of Just the News. And what he says is they've since discovered that there's probably about 19 other labs connected to this Chinese illegal immigrant and that the Biden administration lied to Congress to cover up the direct connection to the CCP, that the intelligence Congress was given was wrong. Deliberately wrong.
And this is something that we're continuing to uncover because if you recall, a similar incident in Reedley, California from a few years ago was evidently buried by the prior administration. And they said it had no connection to the CCP. When we discovered that, we took swift action to course correct the intelligence and figure out why the American public was misled by individuals in this institution, including my predecessor. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're just awaiting the lab results and we're going to keep going.
Kash Patel added this.
Once those test results are back, we'll go public with what we found. And we'll also be talking to our partners in Congress to say, hey, this intelligence that you were given and this summary you were given previously was dead wrong. And I'm not going to mix any words about that.
Here's the terrifying part, the homicidal part by the Democrats. The program that was supposed to monitor these bioweapons, look for threats to the homeland in the homeland, the China initiative. Yeah, you know what they did to it once they discovered the two bio labs? There, by the way, there were two. They never did get the one in Vegas. Do you know what they did to the program? Dismantled it in order to make sure they didn't catch any more of these bio labs.
This is just another disastrous example of failing to protect national security by the Biden administration. Who takes down an initiative against our number one adversary, the CCP, when they are not only conducting counter-espionage activities here in the homeland against Americans, but also overseas and importing illegal biopathogens to harm our way of life? That is an intentional, poor decision to the detriment of our national security. President Trump came in and said, we're reversing course. We need the FBI all in against the CCP, and that's what we've done.
Pray they can do enough. Fast enough. God knows how far the Chinese have gotten, and they're bound to be really annoyed since Trump just took away 70% of the oil from Venezuela that they use for manufacturing. Folks, this is a mortally dangerous situation. Insane thing number five, the slap across the face from Roger Goodell in the NFL to Americans. Folks, they've been well behaved for a number of years because of the massive fall off that resulted from their hate Trump, defund the police phase. But they could barely contain their rage, their hate for the American people. Folks, I get that they want to market the NFL to South and Central America. I got no problem with it. I've got no problem with them using any of the great Spanish language artists out there. My daughter speaks Spanish fluently, and we swap songs back and forth all the time, especially when we work out. We listen to great Spanish language artists, far more popular than Bad Bunny, whose lyrics are clean. Folks, I'm not going to read the lyrics to you, but suffice it to say, Bad Bunny not only put on a completely obnoxious show entirely in Spanish so as to slap Americans across the face, but he described in that song every sex act there is, except for one. I counted. He used the F-bomb to describe that sex act again and again and again. He used terms banned by the FCC for male and female genitalia. Folks, understand something. This is dual justice, okay? The FCC is incredibly strict about violations of its can't say words on its channels. I live with it every day. If somebody calls my show and my trigger finger isn't fast enough on the dump button, by the way, I have to have mandatory legal training on it every year, and somebody drops an F-bomb, totally not my fault, but I didn't move fast enough, I can be fined $300,000, even if it wasn't intentional or my fault. Now, there's no way Goodell and the crew don't know that. Yet they let him sing a song that was so profane, so grotesque. So, folks, the FCC has got to step in here and do the fine. They've got to, or they're going to make a mockery of the system. But you know what this is? It's dual justice. Well, we're liberal. He hates ICE, so he should be able to say whatever he wants. Screw you. I cannot believe the NFL allowed him to sing this song. Even in Spanish, it violates the FCC. It is so unfair. But folks, Nielsen ratings, even the NFL had to admit just shy of 10 million tune-outs of the halftime show. Presumably, I don't know where they went. Maybe they went to the bathroom to watch the TPUSA show. TPUSA, meantime, hired their own ratings consultant because they know for a fact they got 25 million streams, but 25 million streams, which ended up being about 7 million at peak, does not equal 7 million viewers, because the way Nielsen works, they usually multiply each television set, for instance, by 2.5. Anyway, preliminary figures of who watched the TPUSA American halftime show, between 40 and 50 million. Folks, they spent less than a month promoting it. They barely had a budget. And they put the hurt on the NFL. What did it show? The size of the undercount, the underaudience, the real, actual American, undemographically served by advertising audience. It was glorious. Anyway, Andrew Colvay, who does the day-to-day running of the place of TPUSA, says next year they're going to take these figures to advertisers and make the case to sponsor their halftime show. Insane thing number four. The way that ICE agents and their children and their wives are having to live in America, we've never seen this before. They're being hunted like dogs. The Trump administration really needs to lay this out for the American people, because let me tell you what, they have to wear those masks, but it makes them look kind of scary. This is one of these things that our side, we just don't explain ourselves. And I was shocked when I tuned in to the testimony this week by ICE Director Todd Lyons. Now, he'd already testified earlier in the week, and he and his wife and his family, as punishment, had been hit with a barrage of death threats. Listen to what that was like. This is from a hearing this week.
If you looked at the beginning of the operations, beginning to, you know, January 20th up until April, ICE officers and agents weren't masked. But it's bad. And I'll just use myself as an example. The week that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was a tweet that went out. It said, kill Charlie Kirk, kill Todd Lyons. After the testimony on Tuesday, I went back to numerous death threats against my family. There was a videotape of my wife walking to work that people actively post. The cartels have actually posted the schematics to my home. ICE agents feel that every day. We actually did an operation with the Secret Service where we identified doxers who put up on telephone poles the home addresses and the schools where ICE officers and agents went to. But yet no one covered that operation. We covered that as a success. And I don't want my officers masked. I would work with this committee and any committee to work with holding individuals accountable that dox ICE agents, because ICE agents don't want to be masked. They're honorable men and women. But the threats against their family are real.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is the director of ICE. And he said, what?
After the testimony on Tuesday, I went back to numerous death threats against my family. There was a videotape of my wife walking to work that people actively post. The cartels have actually posted the schematics to my home. ICE agents feel that every day.
That right there, that's a civil war. With the cartels on the same side as the Democrats. Remember, the cartels already have a $50,000 bounty on Sector Chief Greg Bovino's head. Now, think about this. The Department of Homeland Security just shut down because Democrats' demands weren't met. One of those, chief among them, is that ICE agents be unmasked. Why? So they can more easily be hunted and killed? Their children can be hunted and killed in school parking lots? Folks, again, every time there's a crying five-year-old, the Democrats splash it all over the television. And 3 days later, we find out the child standing next to an ICE agent wasn't crying because of the ICE agent, but because his father, a criminal, abandoned him, and then his mother refused to take him in. And the ICE agent was comforting him. Folks, we gotta play the game. We have got to have press conferences. I mean, the Lyons doesn't, he just happens to randomly drop this in the middle of a congressional hearing only because he's been asked. This, he was asked by Senator Ron Johnson, hey, you know, what are the danger levels? Nobody knew. And you know what? No one on Team Trump will ever mention it again. This is how stupid we are. They have got to do better messaging. And here's the thing, folks. We could tie this around the Democrats' necks right now. Remember the Signal poll from last week where it showed Democrats right now are up 4 points over us for the midterms? And then they told those people that Democrats want to defund ICE. And it flipped 4 points to R plus zero. In other words, equal chances of winning the midterms, slight edge to Republicans. When they were told that the Democrats were shutting down the Department of Homeland Security to abolish ICE, it flipped plus two Republican, a 6-point swing. The point is, these voters didn't know. Folks, we got dynamite in our hands. We got to pick it up and throw it. Somebody's got to message. We need a war room so badly. Trump is blowing this to hell and he's so isolated. I don't think he knows. I think he thinks he's communicating. He's not. Instead this week, and this is insane thing number three, after the polling on ICE turned negative, that it's believed that they have, you know, their tactics are too violent. And only by a little bit, these polls would be easy to flip with messaging. 52% of Americans say their tactics are too aggressive. Donald Trump pulled out of Minnesota. Exactly, by the way, as I told you that he would. I said he would think he'd messaged, misread the polls as a loss, when the problem is we never even got on the field. We never even attempted to play and pull out. As soon as I saw Tom Homan step up to the camera for the press conference, I'm literally at the break from my show shouting at the television, no, 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 don't pull out. No, total victory for them. Look, we're winning on a lot of other fields. It's not over. I would not have pulled out this way. I would have gradually drawn down if I was truly, as Homan claimed, done, pretty much done. And look, they've done a great job in Minnesota. They've removed 10,000 illegals out of there since Trump took office, including 4,000 illegals just in the last 9 weeks, just out of Minneapolis, 60% of whom had criminal history. So that's a fantastic job. Maybe they were done, but it looked like a capitulation. That's not good. When you combine it, folks, with the last segment that I just did on this Insane Things podcast, the fact that these people are comfortable making death threats, the cartels are comfortable making death threats, what are you going to get? A lot more violence. And let me tell you why. These are astonishing numbers published by Just the News this week. And this is Insane Thing number three. The total stats on January 6th, arrests and sentencings compared to the summer of love. Remember, $2 billion worth of damage as documented by the insurance industry. That's what they actually paid out. Listen to this. John Solomon reporting, and his source is The Guardian, 90% of summer of love cases in the United States of America that resulted in arrest were dropped. Here are some examples. In Houston, one of the epicenters of the protests in Texas, 93% of all charges were quietly dropped in the year and a half after they were filed. Despite demonstrators blocking a federal highway, throwing objects at police officers, setting on fire and damaging buildings, and injuring 8 officers, 2 of whom were hospitalized. In Philadelphia, protesters smashed windows, set buildings on fire, looted stores, set fire to police cars. 95% of the arrests resulted in no prosecutions or dropped charges. Folks, the left's got this down to a science. In Minneapolis, the last local arrest, you want to know when that was? Of a protester or somebody committing violence against ICE or other people who support ICE? December 26th. That person chased an ICE agent who was off duty in their car. Yeah, since then, there hasn't been a single damn arrest. They're lawless, folks. They could do whatever they want. Contrast that with January 6th, which was more of a rowdy riot than the kind of stuff the Democrats do. I mean, we've never done $2 billion worth of damage. 1,500 individuals were arrested in connection with the Capitol raucous protest. I'm not going to call it a riot. 1,270 total convictions. That's 86% for anybody who's keeping track. This truly is a dual justice system. So you put these stats, our total failure to prosecute after the summer of love, with the fact that we just turned tail out of Minneapolis in response to the violence, we're going to get a lot more of it. Now, we did arrest 200 of them, but folks, they had thousands on the ground there. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing right now. A lot of them were not locals. They're all packing their bags and going wherever they're going to harass ICE next. They're smirking. They're sniveling. They know they can hurt ICE agents. Former FBI special agent and acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol told Just the News, his name's Mark Morgan, that even the perception of a double standard in these cases undermines faith in the justice system. Yeah, it weaponizes the left's violence, too. Quote, wherever there's a perceived appearance of a double standard, especially when it's based on legitimacy, the first thing that happens immediately is the public's trust in the system of justice as the country starts to erode. Again, folks, they're good. The next steps is right out of the Russian Revolution playbook. I tell you about all the time. You're going to see these violent leftists start to go to the homes of ICE agents and terrorize them and their children there. There's no reason not to, especially if those agents happen to live in a blue state where the charges can quietly be dropped later. Count on it. It's coming after we fled Minneapolis. Folks, I want you to know, though, that's mainly an optical loss for us because we won a massive court victory, a court victory that will redefine the immigration system this week. It was in the Fifth Circuit, the appeals court, and Democrats were trying to keep in place Bush-era rules that are actually the opposite of federal law, where if you catch an illegal, you have to bond them out, and then they run around while they await their final processing, hearing, whatever, which means ICE has to catch them twice. Well, that's not what federal law says. It says shall detain. There's no release. The Bush administration just made that up, and Obama kept doing it. So we've got like 25 years of legal precedent, and that's why the Democrats sued and said, hey, look, they, you know, we've always done this. And Trump said, no, the law says the opposite. They were just ignoring the law. Well, we won, and we will win going forward. What does that mean, folks? I can't tell you how big this is. Well, what it means is right now, up till now, if you got arrested by ICE, then you would appeal. It's a habeas corpus appeal, and they would let you out. So you'd have time, even if you were going to be deported, to get your order affairs in order, if they ever even caught up with you, right? Well, now it's one and done. They pick you up, out you go. What does that mean? You lose all your stuff. Your car? You're not going to be able to sell it. What about your furniture, your personal belongings? Maybe you've got construction equipment. Too bad. Out you go. You can't even go home and get a change of clothes. Folks, the fact that this is basically over now, The ruling only applies to three states, but we've won at every level, meaning we're going to win at the Supreme Court. The law is very clear here. You just have to go through the process. What this means is very simple. It's a message to illegals. And by the way, one of the states was Texas. So there's a, I mean, there's a massive immigration population there. What this means is it would make a lot more sense to get your affairs in order, sell your stuff, take the $2,600 self-deportation bonus and the free plane ticket and go home. It's right, because if you don't and we catch you, you lose all your stuff. Or at least you'll have to let leave it behind and have another illegal take the risk of selling it. Folks, this could be a game changer. Insane thing number two, the SAVE Act. Folks, every Democrat in the House but one voted against proof of citizenship to vote. You know why? They cheat. The Republicans voted unanimously. And then so it gets sent over to the Senate, where what's left of the George Bush open borders, anti-sovereignty, globalist uniparty is trying to cut it down with a buzzsaw. It's basically being blocked by John Thune and Mitch McConnell's corpse to help the Democrats steal elections. Now, here's the good news. They've been blocking an earlier version of the SAVE Act for about 300 days to help the Democrats. The pressure from X is so insane. Basically, SAVE Act trends all day long on X. Tens of millions of voters now know the deal. We could pass this thing if Thune and Mitch McConnell's corpse would drop the filibuster. So John Thune has gone from blocking this in committee to saying he agreed with it to this week becoming a co-sponsor. That's the level of pressure. We've got one more hurdle left, the temporary removal of the filibuster. And folks, there's something called the lazy filibuster where they don't even have to stand up and they don't run out of time. Folks, that hasn't been around since the founding. It's been around since 2016. The idea that this is vaunted history of America, we must honor, bullshit. Excuse my language, but BS. It was made up by Mitch McConnell in 2016. It's called the lazy filibuster. So, folks, through the pressure of X, we've actually moved the Bush cabal so far to the right here. We've got one step left. And other good news on this, we are now at 48 co-sponsors of the SAVE Act in the Senate because they're scared. Every senator right now who's not co-sponsoring this is being hunted like a dog. Lisa Murkowski's out. When I say like a dog, I mean verbally. They're getting massive phone calls, nasty tweets about them on X, threats of being primary. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on. They've never felt anything like it. That's the power of X that I tell you about all the time and the reach of it. There's just simply, like I said, nothing like it. So that's the good news. We got one more hurdle to get over here. I hope we do. I think we will. Now, here's why this is so important. Everybody's talking about needing proof of citizenship to register and voter ID to vote. Yeah, that's super important going forward, but it's not the most important thing in the bill. The most important thing in the bill that nobody even seems to know is there is an answer to the third court case that we lost this week. That was in Michigan. See, Trump is suing 21 states to force them to turn over their voter rolls. Why? Because in 15 states, when you get a driver's license, regardless of whether a citizen or not, they automatically register you to vote. By the way, all 15 of those states are among the blue states that Trump is currently suing because they refuse to turn their voter rolls over. Oh, I bet they do. And folks, part of what we found in Georgia, thousands of dead voters voting. It's like this in all of the states. That's why they won't turn them over. Well, the problem in Michigan this week is that a Trump judge ruled, unfortunately, correctly, there's nothing in the law mandating that these states turn their full voter rolls over to the DOJ. Yes, we could get the rolls that are on the computers and on the Board of Election sites, but we need the back end so we can turn around and run them against Social Security databases and Homeland Security databases. Folks, by about noon on the day we get them, we're going to know how many fake voters are on these rolls, and we're going to know how many of them voted. Democrats will do just about damn near anything to keep us from figuring that out because the game is up. And I truly believe if we can pass the SAVE Act, then I think that you will have states that we thought were blue that are actually purple, a lot of congressional districts we thought were blue that are purple or red. It's that powerful. And the bill forces them to turn over by law their whole voter registration list to the federal government for checking against databases. And it would force them to remove those voters by the election. You can see why this is such a big deal. It could be a body blow to what's left of the Uniparty, the open borders globalist Uniparty. Because I'm telling you what, these Republican leaders know without cheating, these Democrats can't win. That's incredible that they're blocking this and have for over 300 days. But like so many other things I tell you about on this podcast, this is a race against time. Because if we can clear those roles with a little bit better messaging, as I showed you with the polling earlier, we can win the midterms, folks. And then Katie barred the door for us. We also will have bent the Senate to our will and demonstrated that they can drop the filibuster. We may actually get a real agenda through, or at least a few more parts of it, despite uniparty control of the Senate. Insane thing number one.
The White House is revving up a regulation rollback.
That's
President Trump and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announcing plans to ditch Obama-era environmental regulations, including the auto start-stop feature.
Folks, this was another really undersold thing that the Trump administration did. People don't understand it. Okay, here's what happened. This is going to make a massive difference. We're talking $1.3 to $1.5 trillion a year on the economy. That's how destructive this was. And it's gone. Here's what happened. Congress said to the EPA, you can regulate environmental pollutants. Obama said, even though it was never in the legislation that Congress passed, hey, you know what? We'll add greenhouse gases to that and use it to regulate literally everything. Remember the EV mandate? By 2030 something, half the cars sold in showrooms had to be EVs. That was the justification for it. The light bulbs we have to use now. Yes. The way they've whacked out everything from your dishwasher to your washer, your dryer, your leaf blower, all of it. Yep. When I do advertisements for long heating and air, I'm doing them in December now under the Biden administration saying, hey, better buy your AC because in January, the price of an air conditioning unit will go up by $2,500. Again, that's that greenhouse gas situation. But folks, the power of this is that it forced so many changes on automobile manufacturers that literally they're now seeing at the end of about 4 years, the average, the mid-range sedan, they're going to be able to knock $10,000 to $20,000 off the price of it. This is bombshell stuff. Here's Cheryl Cassoni with Fox Business.
This is one of the, I would say, the biggest regulatory rollbacks I've ever seen, and I've been covering this for 25 years. Basically, 2009, the EPA endangerment finding, they used that for the Obama administration to regulate everything. The start-stop feature on your car, you know, you get it to the stoplight, all of a sudden your car goes off and you're looking around, what just happened? Well, that's, thank you from that. But 2010, they started going after tailpipe emissions. 2024, the Biden administration picked it right back up. Then they started going after farm equipment. We've seen these regulations, oil and net gas production, coal production. So when you look at your electricity bill.
Folks, let me give you an idea of what a game changer that this is. When Barack Obama took office, 48.5%, almost half of our energy supply was coal. He announced that by 2030, using this rule change, we were going to shut down every coal fire plant in America. And he had a lot of success by the time he left office and was through necessarily skyrocketing energy prices. Just 27% of our energy mix was coal. Now, energy prices during the period went up 20%. It would have been much worse had we not had innovation in natural gas. But by the time Biden left office, he had already put new regs that were supposed to take place on gas, natural gas plants. They had to have 100% greenhouse gas emissions containment or shut down. People have done it in like with models, but they've never done it for a real plant. It was going to be devastating. Biden also used the same rule to impose quote unquote taxes. They were really fees. On natural gas coming off of federal lands. And so that's how you got the all-time record energy price increase of 30% under Joe Biden. All that gets wiped off the table. And you got to understand how evil and pernicious this is. Because what it did as we wound down coal, and folks, that is frozen. We haven't reopened the coal fire plants. A lot of them are shuttered and can come back online. We need to bring them online. But the shutdown of plants hit a brick wall once Trump took office. It stopped, which is fantastic. We need to reverse it. And Trump is. In fact, he announced a major coal partnership with the Department of War this week. But let me tell you why. On average, every single week in either India or China, a new coal fire plant opens. And they run them a lot more dirty than we do. That's why so much of our manufacturing has gone overseas. It followed the coal. And folks, meaning not only do we gut our manufacturing base, but there's now more pollution than there would have been because we do clean coal extraction. Our smokestacks are infinitely cleaner than China's or India's. So folks, we're looking at the possibility here, truly, of really bringing some of our manufacturing base back. And you put that with the big, beautiful bill. One of the most powerful things in it is 100% immediate expensing of factory construction. So folks, the door's open right now. You're going to have clean coal. You're going to have cheap energy. You're going to have all these bizarre enviro regs off your back. And 100% expensing. Folks, people got to move their factories back here. It's going to be devastating for Democrats, whose only hope is to wreck the economy and induce government dependency. It's going to have an effect everywhere on everything.
These crippling restrictions were a major factor in driving up car prices to unprecedented levels. And the car that you were getting was not nearly as good. In 4 years under the Biden administration, the price of a new and used car rose more than 22%, all to facilitate the Green New Scam without achieving any meaningful impact on the environment, but making the car worse. That is why, effective immediately, we are repealing the ridiculous endangerment finding and terminating all additional green emission standards imposed unnecessarily on vehicle models and engines between 2012 and 2027 and beyond. This action will save American consumers trillions of dollars and will lower the average cost of a new vehicle by close to $3,000.
Finally, with the breaking news as I'm recording this, annual inflation cooling to 2.4%. Folks, if we could just get the debt under control, America is ready to roar.
This radical rule became the legal foundation for the Green New Scam, one of the greatest scams in history, probably as great, maybe even greater than Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, etc., which the Obama and Biden administration used to destroy countless jobs. And the jobs have been just decimated. But it raised prices and caused immense harm to the U.S. auto industry. I was in Detroit, as you know, with Ford, and they had one of the earliest plants from the early 1900s. And it was going to be closed down. And then when I won, they said, let's keep it open for a little while. Let's see what happens. And they just announced, as you know, they're going 24 hours around the clock with that same plant that was going to be closed because of what we've done.
Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.